Remember that I have said that neither Jesus nor you nor I could endow a right idea with any more power than it already has. Nor can Jesus, you nor I, take away that power. But there must be some reason why a right idea in the consciousness of the Master could heal the sick instantaneously, while the same idea present in your consciousness or mine seems to be less potent and less able to heal in many cases. Now, God is mind. We know that because he is expressed in idea. And an idea has to have a mind to formulate or originate it. Now, man, you or I, never created an idea. We never thought an idea. We express idea in consciousness. Those ideas do not come from within us, from brain or any human mechanism. They exist for our use, and we may appropriate them or reject them just as we please. We do not get them from anywhere, as a matter of fact. They are ever ready, here and now, everywhere, filling all space, waiting to be expressed in our consciousness. You and I never created love, or kindness, or honesty, or constancy, and the like. These exist as one in the divine consciousness, and are expressed individually as we appropriate them for our own use. That is, love exists as one love. There are not many loves. There is but one love. And that one love is expressed by you and me through an idea of love. There is but one love, and that love is expressed as idea. There can be a countless number of ideas of love, but there is, nevertheless, the one infinite love. The same may be said of honesty, justice, purity, etc. There is but one of every quality, synonym, or attribute of God. Sight, for instance, is an expression of life. Therefore, sight is idea. There is but one sight, and that one sight is expressed in idea. Therefore, when you are expressing in consciousness the idea of sight and endowing it with the omnipotence of God, you are overcoming the beliefs of the carnal mind, which says that sight can be impaired. Hearing is a part of life. Life is God. Therefore, hearing is a part of life. There is but one life, therefore there is but one hearing. Man has no hearing of his own to be injured, impaired, or destroyed. Hearing is a part of God. Therefore, hearing is one. There is but one hearing, and that is perfect, indestructible, and eternal, and is expressed as idea. Therefore, when you and I can clearly see that hearing is idea, and not subject to any of the besetting ills with which the mortal sense of hearing is harassed, we can begin to endow hearing with the omnipotence of God, and can meet the arguments which mortal mind would attribute to hearing. Hearing, seeing, etc., are ideas, and come from God, or are a part of God, and therefore are not inherent in matter, organization, or physical form. not being subject to matter, organization, or physical form, they cannot be affected by matter, disorganization, etc. An idea cannot be injured by matter. An idea is not subject to accident, disintegration, decay, or old age. Idea is of God and is as omnipotent and eternal as God. Nothing of a material nature can interfere with the statement that twice two are four. That is true and changeless, regardless of age, time, decay, accident, or whatnot. And so, with seeing, hearing, etc., they exist as idea, and are as free from matter's whims as our twice two is four. Now, ideas, existing outside of man, eternal in the divine consciousness, standing ever ready at the door of our consciousness, knocking for admission, may be accepted or rejected by you or me at will. In the degree that we admit these ideas to consciousness and govern our activities by them, we are becoming sons of God or children of God. As children of God, we become heirs of the promise and thereby inherit all the power belonging to God. Man must be as powerful as God if he is a reflection of God, because he could not reflect God without reflecting the omnipotence of God. We get the true sense of omnipotence when we eliminate in our thinking the possibility of any lesser power and conceive of God as the only power. If there is a lesser power than God over which God has dominion, then God is not omnipotent or all-powerful. The sense of omnipotence in connection with God must be understood in the sense of all or only, and not in the sense of greater. If we can clearly perceive that God is the only power, then we can get away from the sense of struggle in our metaphysical work. We can get away from the sense of the relative and rest calmly in the assurance of our right thinking. Our expression in thought of a right idea is not merely overcoming the sense of evil, but it is eliminating the sense that there is evil to be overcome. The main object of all our work should be to rid ourselves of the thought that evil is real. For then we can rest assured that there is nothing to overcome, and that the idea which we express in thought is the only power. But as I have said, there must be some reason why the right ideas which you and I express in our thinking are not accompanied with the instantaneous, miraculous healing evidence which these same ideas accomplished when expressed by Jesus. Now, we have seen that God is mind, that mind includes all life, truth, love, principle, etc., and that you and I, in our present state of consciousness, may accept or reject in our thinking these ideas which unite us with God and His omnipotence. We also know that this mind is one, and that you and I use this one mind by expressing that mind's ideas in our thinking. You and I may express many different ideas in our daily thinking. We may express various phases of those ideas, but nevertheless, they all come from the one mind which exists outside of man. One mind originates all ideas, and these ideas exist in countless numbers, so that you and I can never exhaust the infinite supply of these ideas. Furthermore, it does not make any difference how many of these ideas you and I express, and how many of the same ideas you and I may reflect. Our identity is not interfered with, simply because all the ideas which you and I reflect come from the same mind. You and I may express love in our thinking, and that love we know comes from the one mind. Nevertheless, the fact that you and I both express love does not interfere with our identity in the least. Love assumes individual identity as it is individualized. Now, just as God exists as one infinite mind outside you and me, so the mortal mind claims existence as the one mind outside you and me and exists as one. This one mortal mind becomes individual as we admit it to our consciousness. The admission of this mortal or carnal mind to individual consciousness constitutes our individuality. Hate, anger, revenge, selfishness, etc., all the claims of mortal mind exist as one outside mortal man. But these qualities of mortal thought become individualized or personalized by their admission to individual consciousness. So just as you and I have the privilege of accepting or rejecting the divine mind in consciousness, so we have the privilege of accepting or rejecting the carnal mind into consciousness. Thus we see that there is a state of human existence which may contain some of the carnal and some of the divine. This state of consciousness, which may be called a mixture of both the mortal and immortal, may be called the human consciousness. Mrs. Eddy, in a few instances, has made the distinction between the human mind and the mortal mind. But in many instances, she uses mortal and human interchangeably. But in our present state of existence, there is the claim that consciousness may be a mixture of both good and bad. And this claim, or state of existence, may be called the human consciousness, for want of a better name. Consciousness, we will say, and consciousness may be called mortal man, represents 100%. That is, mortal man represents 100% of something or everything. You and I each represent 100%, and that 100% is made up of matter, sin, evil, goodness, etc., all mixed together in what is called mortal man are matter, sickness, health, harmony, inharmony, love, hate, etc. Now, it is perfectly obvious from the standpoint of a Christian Scientist that all of these qualities or conditions could not possibly exist together. That is, love could not exist where there is hate, health could not exist where there is sickness, and so on. But nevertheless, mortal existence claims mortal man to be 100% of all those various things. It might claim that you and I individually represent 50% of evil, 50% of good, all of which make up 100%. Mortal man represents 100% of all of the things which Christian Science proves cannot exist together. This 100% is represented in what we have termed the human consciousness. Human consciousness, then, may be termed the state of existence wherein good and evil seem to exist together in one human being. Now, as we shall see, all matter is mortal mind. All evil is mortal mind. All sickness is mortal mind. And all goodness or spirituality is divine mind. These two minds seem to exist together in one individual, and this seemingly inconsistent existence is termed human consciousness. The human consciousness, then, is composed of both the mortal mind and the immortal mind. Inasmuch as both the mortal mind and the immortal mind exist apart and outside mortal man, we can see how optional it is with all of us as to what percentage of the mortal shall be included in our consciousness, and what percentage of the divine may be so included. It is up to us to choose, to accept or reject that which comes to us of either mind. Divine mind comes to our consciousness for acceptance in the form of ideas. Mortal mind comes to us for acceptance in the form of mortal or carnal thoughts. One is idea, one is thought, and you and I may accept or reject either at our own will. The percentage of mortal thought we accept represents the percentage of the carnal in our consciousness. The percentage of the divine which we accept into thought represents the percentage of the divine in our consciousness. So we ourselves regulate these percentages, and we ourselves determine the state of our own human consciousness. Now, as we have learned in Christian Science, our consciousness constitutes our world. Our world, our material world, is made up of what we hold in consciousness. Our world is not made up of matter, sin, sickness, etc., from without. Our material world is made up of our own thoughts. That is, what you and I see, feel, taste, smell, hear, and experience are creations of our own thinking. You and I are conscious of a material world simply because we have thought that material world into existence. The material world does not exist because of any force or creation outside mortal man. The material world is a creation of mortal mind expressed through mortal man. The material world is an expression of our own individual consciousness. What you and I see, feel, taste, smell, hear, and experience is simply what exists in our own thought. Mortal thought comes from the mortal mind, which exists outside of human consciousness. As we have seen, mortal mind exists as one mind and claims to exist as one mind outside human consciousness, just as the divine mind exists as one mind outside of man. We may think just as we choose to think. We may accept or reject both the mortal and the immortal in our thinking. This thinking constitutes our world. This thinking constitutes our consciousness, and our consciousness constitutes our world. Our world includes unhappiness, sorrow, fear, accidents, calamity, sickness, want, woe, poverty, and the like, just to the extent that we admit the carnal into consciousness. Our world includes joy, happiness, assurance, freedom from fear or anxiety, abundance, health, harmony, etc., to the extent we admit the divine into consciousness. If our consciousness is 90% carnal and 10% divine, then our world is 90% carnal or material and 10% divine. If our consciousness is 90% carnal, then our world is 90% unhappiness, sickness, sorrow, grief, want, woe, poverty, lack, and the like. If our consciousness is 10% divine, then our world is 10% harmony, peace, prosperity, happiness, etc. We make our own world by our own thinking, and we ourselves regulate that world for good or bad, depending on our method of thinking.